Thank you, Linda. All right. Makes you a little homesick this morning, doesn't it? And that's what we have waiting for us. Those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. Made me think of my mom this morning, Linda. She's already there. Turn your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 1. We've been walking through this passage of Scripture for several weeks now, talking about how we are blessed in Christ. We've talked about how we were appointed, how we are adopted, how we are accepted, how we are acquired. Last week, we talked about how we are acquainted. This week, I want to talk about how we are apportioned. And I want to share with you in just a moment what I mean by that word apportioned. But I want to look at this passage of Scripture, and then we'll look at three questions that I see in this passage. What is apportioned? Why is it apportioned? And how it is apportioned. So that's where we're going this morning. Let me read this. You have the words, the scripture there on your screen. You can follow along there, or you can follow along in your copy of God's Word. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his favor and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he favored us with in the beloved. We have redemption in him through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he planned in him for the administration of the days of fulfillment, to bring everything together in the Messiah, both things in heaven and things on earth in him. We have also received an inheritance in him, predestined according to the purpose of the one who works out everything in agreement with the decision of his will, so that we who had already put our hope in the Messiah might bring praise to his glory. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in him, you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. This morning, I want to focus in on verse 11 through the first part of verse 13. And I want to share with you in just a moment why I want that first part of verse 13. But I want to look at this word apportioned first. On dictionary.com, this word means divided or allocated or allotted or assign. And what I want to focus in on this morning is where you see translated in Scripture that in him we have obtained an inheritance, or we have received an inheritance. In some translations, if you were to look at this, and maybe even in your own translation that you have today, it might even say that we were also made his inheritance, or we were made a heritage. In the Vine's Expository Dictionary there, the word is kleraō, which has kind of almost a dual meaning, that we have obtained an inheritance or we were made a heritage. So I want to focus in on that. I want to share with you in just a moment in that idea of what is a portion, that Scripture, I believe, shares with us that it is both ways to look at that word or that rendering is true. It's true. And what I also want you to understand, that in this passage of Scripture, what Paul says is, this is God's plan. This is something that from the foundation of the world that He had in mind for those of us who place our faith in Jesus Christ, that not only do we have an inheritance, but we are made an inheritance. And I want to share with you in just a moment what that looks like. So let's look at this. What is apportioned this morning? And that first idea is that we have an inheritance. It says there that we have also received an inheritance, or we were made an inheritance in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. It says this: the Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children, and if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. Notice what it says there, that we are heirs, heirs of God and heirs of Christ. If we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we are grafted into the family of God. We sing that song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And being a part of the family of God now means that we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. And when you think about being co-heirs, you can't help but think about an inheritance, correct? That is what is waiting for us. That is what is being stored up for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul talks about it there. He says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen and no ear has heard, and what has never come into a man's heart is what God has prepared for those who love Him. And when I think about what God has prepared, I think about that inheritance. I think about Beulah Land that Linda sang. Right? I think about that place that is described in Revelation, that place that we have been talking about on Sunday evenings. This last week, we looked even at the worship in heaven, and I think that's even part of our inheritance, that we'll, throughout eternity, be able to worship God, not only with our voices, but with our very lives, when we'll do it perfectly. We attempt that now here in this life to worship Him with our words and with our actions, but we do not do it perfectly now. We are working toward, we're hoping that God works in us toward perfection as we live here on this earth, but we will never realize that until we're in heaven with Him. And I think that's even part of our inheritance as we look at that. Yes, we think about the streets of gold. Yes, we think about the pearly gates. Yes, we think about another song we sing, I've Got a Mansion Just Over the Hilltop, right? That place. That even now, if we believe what Scripture tells us, that Jesus said in John 14, I'm going away, but I'm going to prepare a place for you so that He's going to return, right? And receive us so that we can be where He is. That's our inheritance that we have waiting for us. 1 Peter, and this excites me. Because I think about how here on this earth, when you think about the things and the possessions that we have here on earth, they can be here today and gone tomorrow, right? But with this inheritance, what we have waiting for us, it is eternal. You look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says, let me go back to verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then verse 4, into an inheritance that is, now listen to this, imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. So this is another way that we're blessed in Christ. We are apportioned here. We are assigned an inheritance. We are allotted or allocated. It's been divided up. And it's uncorrupted and it's unfading. We never have to worry whether or not it will go away. It is ours forever. Also in Colossians chapter 1, I know I'm skipping around a little bit here in Scripture this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, we see, may you be strengthened with all power according to the glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to do what? To share in the saints' inheritance in the light. We have a share this morning. If we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we have a share in the inheritance that God has planned for us. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15 also says something about our inheritance. It says, therefore he, Jesus, is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance, because a death has taken place for redemption from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. We might receive the promise of the what? Eternal inheritance. So this idea that we are a portion, and the idea that we have now received or obtained an inheritance, is an accurate view of this, of how we are blessed in Christ this morning. But not only that, and if that wasn't enough, okay, if that was enough, that we have something, God considers us His inheritance. God, the creator of the universe, considers us to be His inheritance. I want to share with you, this is an idea that goes back to the Old Testament. You look in Deuteronomy chapter 9. Let me turn over there. Y'all didn't know it was going to be Bible drill this morning, right? Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 29. But they are your people, your inheritance, whom you brought out by your great power and your outstretched arm. They are your people, your inheritance. This is Moses talking about the people of God, bringing them out of Egypt. He says, these people are your people, and they are your inheritance. Later in that same book, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse, have it written down here, verse 9. But the Lord's portion, His portion or His share, is His people, Jacob, His own inheritance. So we have this idea even in the Old Testament. Also, listen to what the prophet Isaiah has to say in Isaiah 43, verse 1. He says, now this is what the Lord says, the one who created you, Jacob, the one who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Now, I want you to focus in on that this morning when we're talking about inheritance and how not only we have been apportioned an inheritance, but we are apportioned as an inheritance for God. We are His. Those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, He claims us as His. He says this morning, Jonathan, you are mine. And each one of you in here and everyone upon the face of this earth this morning who claim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who have placed their faith in Him, God says, you are mine, and I am keeping you until that day that I receive you unto myself and I give you the inheritance that I have waiting for you. Also in Zephaniah, and I go to this verse because I love this idea, all right? When we're thinking about how we are God's inheritance and how we are His, beginning in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14, sing for joy, daughter Zion. Shout loudly, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed your punishment. He has turned back to your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is among you. You need no longer fear harm. On that day it will be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. Now listen to this. The Lord your God is among you, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will bring you quietness with His love. He will delight in you with shouts of joy. Isn't that amazing this morning? That we, as children of God, who are considered His inheritance, He rejoices over us. He sings over us this morning. And just as we will have shouts of joy when we enter that kingdom of heaven, that sweet Beulah land, God will have shouts of joy over us because we are His inheritance. Can't you see that this morning? Can you imagine that this morning? That moment when Jesus returns and we're brought up into the air with Him and then into heaven, there's shouts of joy because the inheritance, God's inheritance, we are there. I want to tell you this morning, if you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I hope maybe that encourages you this morning to think about that and consider that and to want that this morning, that God Himself, the Creator of the universe, will shout for joy over your life. And then we have this idea carried over in the Gospels in Luke chapter 15, this idea of this rejoicing over those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. We see three examples of this when Jesus is telling these parables. He tells them a parable of 100 sheep and one is lost, and then how the shepherd himself leaves the 99 in order to find it. And when he has found it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And coming home, he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying to them, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." He rejoices over us, right? And then we have this other parable here, the parable of the lost coin, of the woman who has 10 silver coins, and she loses one, and she does all that she can. She scours the house, she sweeps, she searches, and when she finds the lost coin, what does she do? She rejoices, right? And then we have this incredible parable of the lost son, and in some of your translations, in some of your Bibles, you might have the heading, the prodigal son. And even in some ideas, we think about this not only being the prodigal son who goes and spends his father's money lavishly in wrong ways, right? But this idea that there is a prodigal father here in this passage, which honestly is the focal of this parable, right? The prodigal father who lavishes his love on both of his sons. What happens when the son decides to return home and ask for forgiveness? Is the father, is he upset, and is he waiting in some dark room in the deepest recesses of the house for his son to walk in, and this awkward moment where the son is trying to formulate the words in his mind to express just how deeply sorry he is for the way he has acted. And then when he finally gets the words out, the father just sighs in frustration. And he says, "I knew you would come home." Is that the picture that we have here? No. This son that was lost, we have this picture of this father who probably from day one went out to the edge of his property and he peered down the road that his son walked down away from him. And each and every day, I had this idea that each and every day the father was saying, "Today will be the day my son comes home." And then when he finally comes home, he doesn't wait, does he? He runs to his son. And before his son could get his rehearsed apology and asking for forgiveness, the father stops him and he embraces him and he kisses him and rejoices over the fact and throws a big feast because his son, God, rejoices over his children, doesn't he? And I'm telling you this morning that we who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we are His inheritance, and He rejoices over us. He rejoiced in that moment that my mother and many of you who have lost loved ones that placed their faith in Jesus Christ, he rejoiced over them when they passed from this life into the next. So that's what is apportioned. Why is it apportioned? And I think we see here in this passage of Scripture that it is the sole reason why we have been given an inheritance and why we are his inheritance is for our Father's glory. John Phillips says in his expositor's commentary on Ephesians and Philippians, he says this, "Our conversion causes joyful commotion in heaven because the salvation of the sinner brings satisfaction to the Savior and glory to God." This is why it is apportioned, because God gets the glory. Now we get to participate in that, don't we? Because the inheritance is ours. And even in our enjoyment of the inheritance, God is going to get the glory. I don't know, again, we go back to this in this passage of Scripture, these verses 3 through 14, and we see how it's in Christ, in Jesus. All this is all about Jesus. And let me tell you this morning that this life, it is all about Jesus. It's all about God. It's all about what he's doing, and it's all about his glory, his honor, and his praise. And we see it never more so than in the two moments in Revelation chapter 5 and chapter 7. And we looked at these even last week. As we talked about worship in heaven, I want to share these with you this morning in chapter 5, verses 11 through 12. "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and also of the living creatures and of the elders. Their number was countless, thousands plus thousands of thousands. They said with a loud voice," now listen to this, "The Lamb who was slaughtered is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." It's all about his glory. And we're going to be singing it when we get to that place that is waiting for us, that inheritance that God has planned for us. We're going to be singing about the glory of God, because then we will fully realize just how much it was about God. And also, chapter 7, verses 9 through 12, "After this I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were robed in white with palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb.' And the angels stood around the throne, the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen.'" They agreed with us when we're up there saying salvation. They agree. Have you ever noticed? I don't have this in my notes, but I'll tell you anyway. Have you ever noticed that in heaven there's a lot of agreement? There's a lot of saying amen, which means so be it. There's a lot of agreement in heaven. Isn't that going to be wonderful? That there's not going to be any conflict in heaven? Anyway, all right, that was an aside. All right. "All the angels stood around and they said, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" It's for our Father's glory. That's why it's apportioned. Because God wants it that way. And he's going to receive the glory for it. It's not my idea. It's not your idea. It's all in the mind of God. And praise be to God that it is, right? All right, so let's. I've already talked about this morning, so I won't spend a whole lot of time on this last question. And you're saying, "I'm so glad, Jonathan," right? Gotten kind of excited this morning talking about our inheritance, what we have in Jesus Christ waiting for us. How is it apportioned? Our faith in Christ. Very simple. Notice what he says there. He says, "So that we who had already put our hope in Messiah might bring praise to his glory." We, Paul's talking about here, there's this idea that not only does he say we, he's including himself, so he's talking about those of us who are of the Jewish heritage. And then remember that he's talking to the Christians at Ephesus, and when you heard the message of truth, Basically, when you believe too, so it's not just an inheritance that is set aside for those of Jewish heritage, it's also for Gentiles, those others that have believed in the message of Jesus Christ. So it is merely by placing our faith in Christ, and that's consistent with the Word of God. We hear the Word of truth. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this, so faith comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes through the message about Christ. So we hear the word of truth and we respond by trusting and believing. By trusting and believing. And you're asking me this morning, can it be that simple? Can it be that simple? And I believe Scripture says yes. Placing your trust in Christ, believing in Him, believing in the fact that He came and He was God's Son, His only Son, and that He lived a perfect life, and then He went to the cross and He died for the sins of all mankind. And then that He didn't stay dead after they put Him in the grave. That first day of the week, He rose from the dead, victorious over death, victorious over sin, so that we might too be able to participate in that victory. That's what we're talking about this morning. Placing our faith in Jesus, trusting in Him, and believing Him. Scripture tells us in that same chapter of Romans, chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you might be saved. Anybody in here, your translation say you might be saved? No, it says you will be saved. It's a guarantee this morning. And not only that, this is with the heart, one believes, resulting in righteousness. Not that we have any righteousness of our own, but because of Jesus Christ, righteousness is now imputed into our lives. This idea that somehow God unzips us and then He places within us, through the working of the Holy Spirit, God's righteousness, Christ's righteousness, because He is the only righteous one. It says one believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses, resulting in salvation. So again, this morning I ask, can it be that simple? And the answer is yes. But it is also hard, isn't it? It is also hard because here in this life, we are taught over and over and over again, do not rely upon anybody else. Rely upon yourself. You can do it. Scripture says it's not about your efforts. All it is about is placing your faith in Jesus. My story that I've begun to tell more concisely is that there was a time in my life before I met Jesus that I was naive, and I thought I could be good enough by the things that I did. But after I met Jesus, I realized my need for God's grace and His forgiveness, and I rested in what Christ has already done for me on the cross. Do you have a story like that this morning? Have you rested from your efforts to gaining any approval from God? Because I want to tell you this morning that your approval from God comes from being in Christ Jesus. Have you trusted in Christ? You see over there on your screen. Have you trusted in Christ so that you can receive this inheritance and be God's inheritance? If your answer this morning is no, it truly is simple. Place your trust in Jesus. Believe in Him. Scripture tells us that our belief in Him, and not just a mere mental saying, yes, I believe, but a belief in which it truly changes your entire life. That type of belief, it's a deep-seated belief that's within you that says, yes, I totally understand that it's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's about what he's done on the cross for me. And that truth is going to change the way I live the rest of my life. That's the belief that we're talking about. If your answer to that question is no this morning, that you haven't trusted in Jesus, won't you make that this morning, won't you place your trust in him? Give it to God. He wants to have you be a part of what he is planning in the future for those that have placed their trust in him, this inheritance. And he wants to rejoice over you this morning as you come to faith in him. If your answer to that question is yes, I'm going to ask you a question. How has that trust and this truth changed the way you live down here? Because I believe that when we place our trust in Jesus, just as I said earlier, there a change takes place. And how we live upon this earth, knowing that we are now blessed, knowing that we have an inheritance in heaven waiting for us, knowing that we are God's inheritance, it changes the way I live down here. Because now it's not about me, or it shouldn't be about me. It's about God, and it's about his glory. So how has it changed your life? Have you trusted in Christ so that you can receive this inheritance and be God's inheritance this morning? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? As we go into this time of response, I want to give you an opportunity. Whether your answer to that question was no or yes, won't you respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning? If your answer was no, he's saying, place your trust in Jesus. If your answer was yes, thank him this morning. Thank him this morning for what is in store for you. Thank him this morning. Thank God this morning that he delights in you. And pray that this truth will continue to impact how you live here on earth. Father, this morning, we are incredibly grateful for how we are blessed in Christ. And as we have looked at this inheritance that is waiting for us, and even the fact that you delight in us and we are your inheritance, we're once again overwhelmed. God, for those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus, may this truth this morning continue to impact the way we live our lives. May it impact our lives in such a way that we bring honor and glory to your name. For those that might be here this morning, they haven't placed their faith in Jesus, God, I pray that they will respond to the movement of the Holy Spirit in their lives and they will say, yes, I want to place my trust in Jesus. God, would you move amongst us today? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.